the National Council of Jewish Women Oral History 2 project. I'm Cindy Goodman Lieb. It's July 25th, 1996. I'm here with Leonard Rudolph. Could you share with us the date?
In a warm conference room. No, on July 25th, 1996.
I didn't.
Did you? Alvin, how many did you do with Alvin Rogan?
You know what, there's a lot of different interviewers. I'm not sure who did their interviews.
Yeah, I think Sydney told me that.
Okay, we're going to start off by just clarifying some things from the last interview, and then after that, it'll be a little bit more free-flowing with our questions. First thing is, could you spell your mother's name?
Maiden name?
I'm sorry, her first name.
N-E-L-L-I-E.
I-E. Okay. You were talking about when your father...
Pardon me, did you get a payback on the test?
Yeah, it was fine.
You
were talking about when your father came back to Pittsburgh, he was working in men's clothing on the wholesale end of it?
Yeah, he started his own business. Okay.
There was something that I think I missed in the last interview. You were talking about the ruination of small towns, and you were talking about Braddock and Duquesne and McKeesport, and that when you were in business with your brother, they were just decimated totally. And I didn't know if that's because of malls opening up or...
Yes.
Malls in suburban areas ruined the downtown?
Declined, yeah. They just declined in popularity.
Okay. When you were in business with your brother, with the Gaylord store located in Wilkinsburg, McKeesport and Ambridge, there was a word that sounded like Hills. It sounded like Hills Store. I didn't know if that was Hills Department Store. I just misunderstood. Maybe in the East Hills?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
So the name of the store that you and your brother had was Gaylord's?
Yes.
Or could you spell that?
G-A-Y-L-O-R-D, yes. Gaylord. No S.
No S, okay. Okay, could you spell Winkies?
W-I-N-K-Y, apostrophe S.
Okay. The name of Peter Koff was mentioned, and I wondered if you knew the spelling. He was the brother-in-law of the
they were owners of Winkies, and
yeah,
I think you had
Jiffy
just
Steak.
Mentioned.
And Marcy knew.
I knew the son's.
Oh, that was just a sidebar conversation.
I think it's C
A U.
C A U
F F.
Okay. And Ehrenstein?
Bernie Ehrenstein.
Is it A A
E R E N S T E R?
I'm sorry,
E R E N S T E R.
Few more questions. J-Bill Development, is that all one word?
J-Bill is one word.
J-A-B-I-L-L-E?
Yeah, it's a combination of my two sons and myself.
Remember you said it was James,
Bill, and Larry.
Louisa Fisher, L-O-U-I-S-A?
Mm-hmm.
Is it F-I-S-H?
F-I-S-H, yeah.
Okay. And Linda Fidel?
F-I-D-E-L.
Okay, is it L-I-N-D-A?
Mm-hmm.
And some of these are obvious, but sometimes people don't spell them in the most common way. Is Graham's name G-R-A-H-A-N?
G-R-A-E-M-E.
Okay. Louisa's father, Bernard?
Bernard.
Do you know how to spell his first name?
B-E-R-N-A-R-D. Bernard Fisher. Eminent oncologist. I'm sure you've all heard of him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Jimmy's children, Allie?
A-L-I.
And J-E-S-S-I-E?
No, I-E's a woman. J-E-S-S-E.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm glad I'm asking.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the Billy's child that's 11 years old, the second oldest child. How do you spell the child's
name? Nell. N-E-L-L.
And I wasn't sure if Leah and Sarah had H's at the end, so could you spell their names?
Leah does.
Okay, L-E-A-H?
L-E-A-H. Sarah does not. How am I supposed to remember all
this? I don't know, I was going to say, this is like,
we
didn't ask you to have a spelling
test,
huh? Okay, well maybe you can check on Sarah and we can find
out. No, Sarah's S-A-R-A, I know, there's
no
H. Sarah Esther, she was born on Purim.
Oh, okay. Okay, your sister Florence Alpern, could you spell Alpern?
A-L-P-E-R-N.
Okay. And the store that Leora and her husband owned, Trevi?
That they had owned.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that they had owned. Could you spell Trevi?
T-R-E-V-I.
I think that's about... That's it. Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, one other question from the last interview. What is the name of... I understand the Jabil Construction was one of the company's names that you're involved with, but is there... Do you have an overarching company name that owned Wendy's as well as your other operations?
Ignite Development Corporation.
Is it MCK?
MCK.
Corporation. Great. Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about your life during the Depression? So you were born about 2 years before the Depression?
Oh, no, Depression started actually in 1930.
You were born in 27?
I was born 17.
17? Oh, I'm sorry. I do have that. Excuse me. So you probably remember more about the Depression then.
Oh, I remember everything about the Depression.
What was life like for you and your family during the Depression?
Well, everybody had to work. We all worked. And as a matter of fact, I made high school in 3.5 years so that I could get a job, which I did. I graduated in January and I got a job in March. And we all worked, we all contributed during the 30s. And my father, it was particularly difficult because my father took sick in 1934 and had a series of operations in the Mayo Clinic, and he finally passed away in 1940. And just about the time my sisters got married, and we had died. Brother and mother there. And then in 41 I went in the service. I went in the Air Force.
Where did you go to high school?
Taylor Olives.
Okay. What about elementary school?
Colfax.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything in particular you like?
No, go ahead. I got out in January and I went to work in March, and I registered for night school fit, but the schedule was so conflicting with my work and trying to go to school that I never really attended any classes. Never went through with it.
So your highest formal education
was
high school. So you have a lot of on-the-job training, a lot of on-the-job experience.
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular you'd like to tell us about your friends or teachers while you were going through school?
Not in particular. I had a lot of friends. We had a lot of, we had a fraternity, a boys' fraternity in high school and an athletic league. You know, I was active in athletics. I was active in the school. I was in the newspaper staff. I was a sports reporter. I loved sports. I was a jock all the time. And I spent a lot of time on that. But nothing remarkable, nothing unusual.
Well, those are interesting things. What was the name of the school paper? Do you recall?
Forbes.
Oh, okay.
It was on Forbes. Eh? All
okay.
of this was on Forbes.
Okay.
Name of the paper. It was a paper. I was manager of the basketball team. I played basketball in the junior varsity. And then I was manager of the senior team. And I enjoyed all that. You know, I spent a lot of time on that. And I still follow sports. Among other things.
What was the name of the fraternity that you were involved with?
Oh, what do we call ourselves? The Buccaneers.
Okay.
Buccaneers, we call ourselves. We have a nice little group. We used to meet every week or every month at somebody's house. We had a nice little group of guys. And there were a number of different clubs like that in the, out of all of us, from small.
And what kinds of things did you do together?
I play ball mostly. We have a dance, a party once a year, so.
Were there clubs like that for girls?
Yeah, sure. In fact, even my kids, they continued on at All Rice. My children were involved. There was fraternities and sororities in high school.
In high school.
Went to college, yeah. Okay.
At Autodesk, I remember the fraternities and sororities
sure.
as well, and they had Greek names. And when you
they
said
had
you
Greek names, yeah.
Do you remember the Greek name of your fraternity?
No, I have doubts or something. I don't know. I just try to guess. It's like trying to read a chart in the doctor's office. I can't remember.
You went through pledging and
did you have very
pledging?
Mild.
Anything else about school? What was the school? Was that school considered a good school in the city?
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, much better than it's considered today. I was on honor roll. I mean, I wasn't, you know, real bad, real totally inclined for sports, but I was on honor roll too. I usually always made honor roll at some level.
Can you describe?
And I was being bar mitzvahed and confirmed during that time too. Both. I was bar mitzvahed at Beth Shalom, and I was confirmed at Rav Shalom.
Okay. Why was
where I later served on the board.
Okay. How did that switch come about from one congregation to another, and from conservative to reform?
Actually, Beth Shalom was more on the Orthodox side at that time.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I mentioned this before, and my father was one of the signers of the charter. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it, but
yeah, all. And then he had been president of the congregation?
He wasn't president of the congregation. He was an officer. He brought the rabbi from New York, first rabbi. He's gone buying trips. Looking for the rabbi.
Who was the rabbi?
Rabbi Rose. Good man, Rose. You and your shaking head, you know.
But I think my husband was there at that time. That was in the 40s.
No.
Before
then?
How long was Rabbi Rose there? It's not enough for me.
I would say probably mid-30s.
Oh, okay. Guess not then.
I was bar mitzvahed in 1930. And he was a rabbi.
And I think I'm going to move the tape recorder just a little bit closer.
All right.
Sometimes your voice is a little quiet, and I want to make sure that
okay.
We hear you on the tape. Okay. Can you describe city life as a child? What was Squirrel Hill like? What was downtown like? Anything that the people in the future would want to know about what Pittsburgh was like?
We were a closely knit Jewish community, even more so today. And of course, downtown was the shopping area. That's where you went to do shopping. You know, clothing shopping. We had Murray Avenue, as you know today, like you take between Phillips, from Phillips on up, or around that area. Those were all houses. You see all these storerooms there today. If you look in the back of them, you'll see that they were homes before that. And then they took the front part between the house and the street and put in storerooms.
Did they have front lawns? Is that where the stores were?
They did have. The stores actually are on the front lawn, too.
I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah. Those were all houses up in Denver.
Do you know
yeah.
why there was a shift?
Well, it became economically productive. And that's where... I remember as a kid, even when I was up to the time I was bar mitzvah, we used to go food shopping every Thursday night on Logan Street in uptown, Fifth Avenue, you know, only uptown. Like if you were to go to Chatham,
uh-huh.
and you'd go in the garage underneath, that area up towards, going back up towards Squirrel Hill, you know.
Okay.
That was, Logan Street was one market after another, all the food markets and butcher shops, and you did all your shopping there for the week. And my dad used to drive down, and we used to go along, you know, with the kids for a ride. And they'd go food shopping Thursday night. It was a night to go food shopping.
And why Thursday particular
night? I don't know. I guess our particular one, other people probably went other nights. Mm-hmm. You know. But I remember we always went every Thursday. We went with my mother and dad and my mother to go shopping. And as far as clothing and everything was concerned, we did that downtown.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of stores do you remember going to?
Where? In Squirrel Hill? In
downtown,
Logan Street? Or
downtown?
Oh, the department stores mainly. There were shops along Fifth Avenue then, but mainly department stores, Kaufman's, Gimbel's, Frank and Cedar's, Rosenbaum's, you won't remember any of those, but Horns. We had like six big department stores in Pittsburgh at one time in that small area.
Mm-hmm. Did you
drive? North Side, Boggs and Buell. There's a department store there.
Where, around where on the north side was that?
It's, I don't know, near, not far from community college in that area.
What was the main way that your family traveled, either when you were together as a family or if you were going downtown?
We went by streetcar. My father drove that time. I only had one car. My father took it to work every day. And we used to go, and we'd go into town with my mother, or we'd go to doctors. We used to go to doctors at the Jenkins Arcade. Well, that's relatively recent, you I'm sure remember the Jenkins Arcade. And all the doctors were in there. All the doctors had offices in the Jenkins Arcade. And, you know, a lot of them. We used to go by streetcar. We didn't even have buses.
I've heard that there were times in Pittsburgh
when...
I'm
not dating myself.
This is very interesting. I've heard that there were times in Pittsburgh when Jewish doctors were limited in where they could practice.
That's how Montefiore Hospital started. The Jewish doctors couldn't get into the hospitals. So the Jewish community started the Montefiore Hospital up on the hill. You know where the hill, do when I say the hill, where the Hill District is today. And that's how Moniker started. And Irene Kaufman, what is now JCC, was the Irene Kaufman, we used to call it the Ikes, IK.
It's now Hill House. Isn't that now Hill House?
I guess that's what it is, but the Irene Kaufman settlement moved many, many years ago to Squirrel Hill, to Oakland, rather.
Or Belfield.
And Belfield.
Mm-hmm. Did you see mostly Jewish doctors or doctors of different backgrounds? Did that affect who you went to see as
no,
a patient?
No, not really. Not really. As a matter of fact, there were Jewish doctors. I remember they used to make house calls, you know, all the time. I mean, that was the only. That was before you go to their office, they'd make a house call. But we had a neighbor down the street who was my Jewish doctor. And I think we went to Dr. May, and I don't think he was Jewish. As a kid, I remember the name, Dr. Goldsmith. He used to come to the house and help pay the house call.
Was there a lot of contact between the Jewish community and the non-Jewish community when you were growing up?
In my mind, no. No, to my memory, no, not very much. We didn't have any. We had very little family.
Was your neighborhood mostly Jewish?
Oh, yes. Not all, but there were, no, we had, yeah, it was mostly Jewish. Probably even a higher percentage than it is today. But we had, like, our next-door neighbor who was not Jewish. We were very friendly. Just a doctor friend of my father's lived down the street. But it was mostly Jewish.
Was Squirrel Hill considered a desirable community to live in?
Yeah, sure. There people moved. Well, we moved. Our family moved from what you might call it. It wasn't exactly a hill district, but it was like the Bluff. The Bluff is where Duquesne University is.
Okay.
And we lived there before I was born. And then to East Liberty, and my oldest sister was born in the house in East Liberty on Jackson Street.
Okay.
And then the major move, the socially proud the thing to do, I guess you might call it at that time, was to live in Sproul. And we moved to Nicholson Street. Before we moved there, that's when my family went to New York.
Okay.
And I was born there. And then I came right back and we lived on Nicholson Street for about 10 years and then we lived on Malvern. And things were good. Things were good then. In 1927, we moved to it was a new district, new area.
Where's Malvern?
Off Plainfield. Foy, you know where Plainfield and Forbes is?
That kind of on the senior side? Okay.
Northumberland, Aylesbury, and then mm-hmm. Plainfield.
Was that considered Murdoch? Is that
part
of Murdoch
Farms? Oh,
yeah,
Murdoch Farms. North of Forbes.
Was that an area where, I've also heard that in some areas, that Jews had difficulty purchasing property?
Not there.
Is that, no.
No. No, the Jews were infiltrating north of Forbes and Murdoch Farms quite heavily at that time.
Marcia, did you?
Yeah, there were a lot of Jewish families in the hill. The Bluff is not quite the hill. Were there
no,
also
it's different. That's different. The hill is up in Wiley Avenue.
Right.
Up that way.
Right.
Were the community similar? Were there Jewish families? A lot of Jewish families in the Bluffton?
Sure.
Was it a higher level?
I'm just telling you from hearsay. It was before I was born.
I was just wondering what if there was a difference in social strata between the Bluff community and the Hill community, And then when you moved to East Liberty, do you have any idea, or when your family moved to East Liberty, do you have any idea what year that was? And was that the beginning of the migration from that, from
Yeah,
uptown?
I would say that was around 1914.
And then they stayed in East Liberty for how long?
Not very long, apparently. Couldn't have been very long as I put the times together, you know, when everybody was born. We were all born in 33. There's only 5 years difference between my brother, who's passed away, and myself, and the two sisters in between. So my mother was rather busy those 5 years.
There was also a large Jewish community in East Liberty.
Oh yes,
probably up to the 40s, 50s.
So much so, yes, right into it. So much so that the community, we federation now. So we built a JCC in East Liberty, and then on Highland Avenue. You're not familiar with it? Mm-hmm.
It was on
Negley? On Negley. And we had to close it and keep it open. It wasn't enough activity. But when it was built in that time, there was just a large Jewish population that we thought, there was a need for it. Turned out there wasn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's in that building now.
I know it's there. Is it Craig House?
Is it near Stanton?
Yes. Is that the Craig House?
I don't know, but I remember seeing a building that looked like it might have been at one time a Jewish community center.
Yeah, so that was a very active Jewish community. Mm-hmm. Very well populated.
Do you have any sense as to why the Jewish community left East Liberty, and then did they come?
Better surroundings. An awful lot of them still live there. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of population, Jewish population in Stanton.
Do you remember East End or Square Hill as being less congested? I mean, there was a time when they talked about this being farmland almost, or, country. I mean, the city grew from the north side to...
Yeah,
I don't know what time
Allegan,
level.
Yeah.
I don't know what time span that was, but I'm wondering...
I'd say the city started to leave the north side around 1910.
All right, so you really aren't aware of any of that.
No, but just from, reading about the history of the city and knowing the city. The ball club, for instance, moved from what they used to call Old Federal Park on the north side to Forbes Field. Were you around the Forbes Field? No.
I moved, I'm from here, from Philadelphia, in 88.
Yeah, Forbes Field was a beautiful ballpark, and it was old Exposition Park, and they moved, I think it was 1909, to Forbes Field in Oakland, where the law school is today,
mm-hmm.
graduate
Forbes
schools,
Squad and
Hillman Libraries,
mm-hmm.
and that was Forbes Field, until 1971, they moved to Three Rivers, where they are today.
Could you tell us about how you met your wife and what her maiden name was and some background about her?
Yeah.
Actually, what her full name is.
Her full name is Doris Glosser. She was from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And I met her, I saw her at a, she was on a date. This was right after the war. She was on a date at the ball game, I think, one night, and I saw her, and a mutual friend of ours went to school with her at Miami U and introduced me to her. That's how we first met.
Did you meet her in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. She came here. She had a sister living here. She's a twin. And her twin was living in Mount Lebanon, just got married. And she was living there. So she used to come to be with her and visit her. And that's where we met. We first met at the ball game. I saw the ball game, and then saw her later at a restaurant, and somebody introduced us.
What year was it? Do you remember around what year?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to have to guess. 1947.
Okay, and where were you? Oh, sorry. No, please.
We were married in 1948. That's when I was there.
And where was she from?
Johnstown,
Pennsylvania. Okay. Did you go on a honeymoon?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We went all the way to Atlantic City, New York. And we had all kind of friends join us. It was, yeah. It was like,
Where was the, after you got married, where did you live, and when did you start having children in relation to when you got married?
Well, we got married in September of 48, and our first child was born in March of 1950. So, less than 2 years, I think.
Where were you living?
We were living, we had an apartment corner of Walnut and College and Walnut. We had an apartment. And then we were there for one child. No, when we had the child, when we had our first child, we moved to Fifth and Wilkins in those apartments there.
Okay.
So our first one only had one bedroom, and our second one had two bedrooms. So we had one child. And then when our second child came along, by that time we had bought a lot where we live now, on Amherst Drive. And by the time he came along, he came along September 51, and we moved into the house in November 51.
Okay, so that's the house you currently, did you build the house?
I built it myself.
Okay.
And we still live there.
That's nice. What was your family like? Your family life with your children and your wife, what was it?
You skipped my family life with, did we cover my family life during my growing up years?
In the last interview, you spoke a little bit about your family having meals together and some holiday kinds of things. But there's always, if there are things that you think maybe we haven't talked about, you're welcome to share them.
Let's just talk for a minute about, my activity beside my sport. I used to work, I went to work, as I said, in March of 1935, it was. I got out in January and went to work in March. And I, in those days, didn't make very much. There was no minimum wage or anything like that. And I started out at $12 a week, and I used to work 6 to 7 days a week, never less than six. And I did that for about 4 years until my brother and I bought this little store in Wilkinsburg.
What was it that you were doing in March of 1935?
Believe it or not, at 17, I was selling millinery.
Really?
And a lot of young people don't know what millinery is.
I've heard the word, but you
isn't
can share with
amazing?
Us what it is.
That is amazing to me. I can't believe it. Department stores used to have big departments, but I mean big departments for millinery. Women's hats.
Oh, okay.
And we used to have like seven seasons throughout the year. It was spring and Easter and after Easter and summer and fall and winter. And it was a big business. And I worked for a wholesale milliner on Penn Avenue. There were like four or five wholesale millinery stores on Penn Avenue.
Downtown?
Downtown. Mm-hmm. Where the Stanley Theater is now, along that area. So,
what was the name of the...
I worked for Dave Bernstein Company. You're shaking your head.
Was that a
wholesale millinery?
Right, but there's a Bernstein now on Fifth Avenue. Was there any connection?
There was a Bernstein and Mann, also in the millinery business.
Okay,
there's a Bernstein in the dress business on Fifth Avenue.
Right,
there
no
was,
relation.
Yeah. No, well that was that was a big wholesale area between Fifth Avenue and Penn Avenue. And that's where my father's wholesale clothing store was.
What was the name of your father's company?
J. Rudolph and Company.
Okay.
And I worked there. I used to be out on the road selling ladies' hats. But a lot of stores that sold nothing but money.
Mm-hmm.
And all these outlying areas that we talked about before, these outlying business districts.
What were some of your favorite, what were the names of some of the styles of hats that were popular at the time you were selling them?
Oh, you used to have turbans and I can picture what some of them look like. They used to have straws, light straws, off the face hats or brim hats, and felts, different felts, quality felts.
How are we with time?
Good friend.
Do you still have time? Mm-hmm.
I have a question in terms of when you say that you started selling at 17, you really had no experience. Did you go right into selling, or
you
did you?
Yeah.
But was that the first thing that you did then when you worked for
Dave
Bernstein?
Yeah, got right into it.
And it's impressive.
I worked in, you know, during high school I worked too. I worked on the Saturdays. I worked at Sears Roebuck when I was 15 years old. You didn't need any, you know, what do you need? Permits today for kids. Didn't need anything. And I used to work at 10 hours, 12, I'd work from 9 to 9. I'd get 2 hours off for lunch and then a quarter an hour.
At which location?
Sears Roebuck on Highland Avenue.
Okay.
And I did a lot of, I had other jobs too. You know, during the summer I had a job.
What other jobs did you have?
I worked